If we had one more tosis to do at the end of the at the end of the sogya, and so Tosfos is Dibor Maskel Ula, and then I want to go on, and I want to see a little further. So, Shlain, why don't you read for us?
Ela Ula Tachas Tachas Go. Masino Amar Lefi Maskenas. So Loka Amar Ula the Magona Mishalei and Vlolaki. Ela Behan Hutzlat the Galay Behukra. So, based on this maskana, we can say that Ula's din is local to these three. The Ula's din of Mishalei and Vlolaki is local to these three. Din of Eitim Zomimin. And our sukkah here, and not a general principle of that.
Okay.
Because we have explicit sukkim with each of those three.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Nimar, Tielfinon Le'uba, Bechol Tukta, Mi Tachat, and then Nitina, Yishalim Kesef.
It's such a great Xei Roshava, because you actually, there are a bunch of words, but the way it's constructed is it actually almost makes sense as a sentence.
Yeah.
Tachas Nesina, in lieu of, let's say, putting a mum on a person, Yishal and Kesef, you have to pay money. Right? You don't, the Chiddush on some levels, I mean, that's not what the din is there to teach you, but you don't cut off a guy's arm when he puts a mum in somebody else and cuts off the arm. Tachas Nesina, Yishal and Kesef. But really what it's actually used for in the Gemara Baba Kama is to learn the din of Meitav from, in all sorts of Nezikin. The rule, what's the rule about Tashlumin? What's the rule of Tashlumin? I understand. So who pays? There are three kinds of karka. There is Idis, otherwise known as Meitav. No idea what the etymology of the word Idis is. There is Beinonis, which I know what the etymology is. It's the intermediate. And then a word I also don't really know what the etymology is, Ziboris, which means the worst quality. What? It's what?
Oh, okay. I always heard it as
Ziboris. I always heard it as Ziboris. I don't know what the etymology of that word is either. The what's the rule in terms of what you pay? So Nezikin pays Minoidis. A Balchov collects from Beinonis, with the exception of Ksubas Isha, which collects from Ziboris. Now, of course, what it means is that if all you have is one quality of field, that's what you pay from. There's also a rule that all kinds of metaltalim, mamon, cash, and metaltalim is all considered Idis, because the Elom is Dabin Hacham is Dabin Hasam. In other words, you can sell it anywhere. Whereas land, it's kind of hard to sell someone land if you're in Texas so that they'll have the land in New York. And thus, there's no din of Karka has to be Meitav. Okay. As an aside, some of you remember this from Intro to Bible, your various Intro to Bibles. Pshuto Shel Mikra about Meitav is what? Rashbam points this out, and it's a Havamina in the Bavli that's rejected. For a good reason. You haven't done the parshanut yet. You'll do this Rashbam.
Okay.
What? But Shlain, did you take with me, right?
I took you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The pasuk has what I'd like to say, what we call in Daffy Duck language, pronoun twabolf. Meitav sadeh meitav karmo yishalem. So the question is, who's meitav? Are you paying? So that's a machlokus in the Gemara, Meitav Shel Masek, Meitav Shel Nizek, the first paragraph of Baba Kama. But it would seem they're actually the machlokus of Tanayim, and the Sri Deish has an essay about this I haven't read. It's in the fourth chelak. It's the beginning of the fourth chelak of the Chulos. It appears that there's actually he has a whole thing, the question is, what is the actual machlokus of Tanayim originally? Rashbam suggests actually that Pshuto Shel Mikra, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalem, of course refers to Meitav Shel Mazik, actually Meitav Shel Nizak, and what does it mean? It means, he says this is Lefi Derech Eretz. You have to pay Meitav because Shema Achla Min HaMeitav. So what does Rashbam mean? It means the following, it's an obvious question. If an animal goes on a rampage through a field and eats an entire patch of strawberries, there's one little problem in terms of evaluating the damages, which is, you don't know what the strawberries were. Were they good strawberries, lousy strawberries? How much strawberries did you eat? You see, it's totally trampled and eaten this area, but you can't tell exactly how much there was. So the Rashbam says that what the Torah is prescribing here is that you look at the rest of the field, and you look at the best parts of the field. If you have no other way of telling, you look at the best quality strawberry patch in the field, And presumably you look at that amount, that area, how much grows in it, and that's what the Mazik has to pay, because maybe it ate, from maybe the part that it ate that's no longer extant, that's no longer analyzable, you know, or evaluate, that no longer can be evaluated, maybe that was just like the Maitab of the field. So of course, the Lamdanim, and you immediately object to this Rashbam saying, what's wrong with that? No, you really should wish to realize. The Gemara asked this Kasha on the same day. There's an Amora, I think, Tav Zayinam Beis, who says the same thing as Rashbam. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? If you're not sure what the quality of the field is, how can you assess the full value of Meitav there? Maybe it didn't eat from the Meitav. And if you're not sure, you say, but maybe it did. The answer is, Amotzei Mechaver L'Haraya. And the Nizek is trying to collect from the Mazik. Which is why, ultimately, in the Maskan of the Bavli, certainly both Deos and the Tanaim hold that Meitav is currency, not an evaluation of the damages. In other words, however you determine what the animal damaged, so that's the amount of damages, that's set. And all Meitav tells you is that once you come to pay that amount of damages, in what currency do you have to pay it? So you have to pay it in Meitav. But Meitav itself doesn't dictate the actual amount that's being paid. But the Rashbam argues that Pshuta Shomekra, and this was one daya, in Bava Kama, I think it's Dav Zayin, I think it's Rav Yaakov Baridi. No, I made that up. I didn't make up the Gemara. Rav Idi Baravin on the Vavamid base. Right. Plus, Gematrius, you can read off by one. And I got one of the two names, right? Okay. So he says, Hacha b'mayas kinon, she, Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel each say something. They don't say, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel says, Meitav sadeu shel nizak, Meitav karma shel nizak, Rabbi Akiva omer, lo ba kosov el legabels and nizikin min ha'idis. And Rabbi Shmuel responds by saying, "Achal shmeina mishalim shmeina, but achal kusha mishalim shmeina." So, Rabbi Idi Baravin seems to give what seems a real shot in that brisa, which is that Rabbi Akiva's opinion was that it's not a currency, but rather it's the way you evaluate actually how much damage was done. But the Gemara immediately responds. Rabbi Idi says, "Achal b'ayin skina kagon she'achal aruga bein harugos v'layadina ichu she'achal ishmeina achal the mishalim shmeina." So Rava says, "What do you mean? If we know that it ate a chusha, then you don't pay. You pay only a chusha. So now that we don't know, hamotzei mechaber alav araya." That was Rava's objection. But Rabbi Idi Baravin apparently believed that here's a situation where the Torah was kones the mazik in such a way that hamotzei mechaber alav araya. It's not the operative principle. In effect, the nizak now becomes, the mazik becomes the motzi rather than nizak. Okay, so anyway, so the maskan on the Bavli, everybody's, Rabbi Idi Baravin's opinion is rejected. And the assumption is that Meitav is simply a currency. It's not how you determine how much it was actually damaged and how much you have to pay. So how do you know that Meitav applies outside of Shor? This is what we call Maveh. Right, which is Shane or Shane, how does it work? It's a question of Shor Mavet, but it means this, let's call it in this case Shor. How do you know it applies outside? So the Gemara has Xer Shava, four different words, sort of a chain from one Indian to another Indian to another Indian, that all Nezikin pay Meitav. All Nezikin, when they pay, you pay in a currency of Meitav, which means, if again, if you're giving Karka, you give the best of your land, to keep it simple for now, and if you're paying, or the best of somebody's land, and if you're paying cash or metaltim, you can give anything that you want. So, Satosa says that Ula presumably will use, if you believe, Satosa says Ula would apply only by the three things, and even though he has the word tachas here, he's not going to use the Gzeir Shava to teach you the din of Meitav, to teach you the din that Adam Mishalim in Oloka by all Nezikin, by all other kinds of Mamanos. Why? So that was the question. In other words, why can't you then say, if you accept my premise that tachas is, this din is now only a din in onesim mefate, and it's not a general din, it's not kol hecha the yesh the ikamamun malkos mishalim v'ino loke, but rather it's a specific din here. So the question is, why wouldn't Ula, however, learn from Tachas and these Kirashavas? Why not learn to all of the dinim? He says the dafka l'inyan meitav.
Okay, the dafka l'inyan meitav mitkabel shu gufa tashlum.
All right. So what is his argument here? This is the a little bit of a compressed statement. What's that? The din of Meitav is a din actually in the Tashlumin. It's primarily about, it's about the payment, how you pay. That's what Tosfos calls Guf HaTashlumin. The Pasuk is talking about Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kamar Yishalem. When you have Gzeir Shavav, Nesina, and Kasaf, it's all about the currency that you pay. The din that Ula is talking about here is a totally unrelated din. It's unrelated to the Gufa Tashlumin. It's an external consideration. What do you do in a situation where you're Chayav Mamon, but you're also Chayav Malkus? Are you Loka Mishalim, Loka Vena Mishalim, or Mishalim Vena Loka? So Tosfos says it's not Shaykh to learn that particular din of Gzeir Shavav. Gzeir Shavav is not an all-purpose tool of equating things. How do I know that? Well, for example, do you eat matzah in the sukkah? And that question, by the way, is a twofold question.
Do you
eat matzah on Sukkot in the sukkah? And do you eat your matzah Leil Pesach in the sukkah? Well, the answer is no. Well, why not? Because after all, we know there's a gzera shava tesvav tesvav.
I saw this absolutely crazy minhag that like was claimed to have been predicated off tesvav tesvav.
Yeah.
What? No. It was like someone had like a din of eating only water challah on Sukkot. Because, it should be matzah.
So my description that would be is that it's practice, unless they were saying it as a joke, is like Narishkeit ben Benoshal Narishkeit.
I think it might be Ogan Vesara. Because you're like saying the Gezeirah Shavos can do more than...
So you're having water challah. Oh, I see. So it's chametz, but it's not meperos. Is that it? Is that
yeah.
the... Okay, that's a bidichusa. That's a joke. So that means somebody likes water challah, so that's what they're saying.
Except like the person said.
You
want to make sure you get a proper
emoji here. What's that?
You want to make sure you get a proper emoji because you've got to have two meals in the sukkah every day. Every day.
Only the first night.
So I said he was Pogan Masara, and he said that he wasn't.
No, we don't.
Said that what?
He was Pogan Masara. And he said he wasn't.
He should build a sukkah out of matzah.
Okay. Anyway, so Gzeirah Shavah obviously is not a blanket conveyor belt that brings all sorts of dinim from one to another. It's always a question, of course, what is it that you can, how much does Gzeirah Shavah include? But obviously, one attempts to contextualize somewhat and limit the Gzeirah Shavah. So in this particular case, the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas and Sinu Shalim Kasef is exactly, even the way it's formulated, about the payment. It starts out with Meitav, of Yishalem, which is about Tashlumen, and every place it's going to say Yishalem. So the means of Tashlumen is like Meitav. It doesn't mean that every din that happens to apply by one din within this chain of the Gzeirah Shavah applies to every other particular case. Right? The question of Loka Mishalem is not a din in the Gufa Tashlumen. It's really a larger judicial principle of what do you do when you have two chiyuvim but you're only able to administer one. Okay. Continue. Because if you were not to say that, everybody holds the Gzeirah Shavah the Gavi Meitav. So if the Gzeirah Shavah also teaches you the din, Mishalim Yenoloka, so how would
hold of that Gzeirah Shavah?
Yeah.
How does he learn Meitav?
Right. No. No. Not Rabbi Yochanan who. No, so I would say. No. Step back a second. Tosa says, what would Rabbi Yochanan do? Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees with Ula's din, yet still has the Gzeirah Shavah. He doesn't have Tachas Tachas for that.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But he has Tachas Tachas
right.
For, as one of the Meitav Gzeirah Shavahs.
So if it was his all-encompassing Gzeirah Shavah.
Then he couldn't disagree with the din. And Abaye... What's the issue with Abaye? So Abaye uses Tachas to learn something else. He learns to teach you on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph that you only pay, that the 50 kesef is only the tashlumen of knas, but there's boshes to pagam, whatever else, on top of that. So according to Abaye, if you use tachas for that, well, where certainly you don't have it for this, and you can even ask the question, well, where's the gzera shava? So an interesting question one could ask for Abaye is why does Abaye get to use it to make the gzera shava if he needs it for a drasha? What's that?
He's like using it twice.
Correct. Tosha doesn't address that question. it's not, well, one of them certainly is not Mufna. The one Tachas HaSharina. Yeah. Okay, that's possible. You want to say if it's Mufna Misarecha, that would be enough to learn Zer Shava. For those who are not familiar with the terminology, the Gemara talks about when you make a Zer Shava, in order to make a Zer Shava, the words have to be extra. Some say it needs to be Mufna Mishnei Tzadim, some say it's enough, it's a Mufna. Mufna means there's a bachelor in Mishnei Yisivamos. Right? Shtei Achim Nesum Shtei Achayos V'yachad Mufna. So he's single. He's available. So it has to be mufne here. It means it has to be extra. Okay, so maybe you want to say that the tachas is still extra, so you can learn the xer shabbos. Fine.
How would that be true rather than a 15-15? That's not extra.
Like there probably is something about it that in sukkahs it certainly is. Ach b'chamisha asar yom lachodesh hashvi, bas b'chemes tu asaretz. That second one is the entire thing is extra. I mean that you were already talking about sukkahs. Is that?
Why can't we say that Ula holds the Gzeir Shava?
Wait, is that true? Gzeir Shava has to be Mufna or Hekesh has to be Mufna? Gzeir Shava, yeah. Okay. Smuchim has to be Mufna also in Yevamos in the first parak. Yeah, okay. Yes, I'm sorry, Zach.
Why can't it be that Ula holds the Gzeir Shava applies even to everything? Rabbi Yochanan would just say it only goes to Mitzvah.
Satosis is probably assuming that if the Gzeir Shava was, this is a point that could be disputed, but if the Gzeir Shava was Niskabla, people would know what the Gzeir Shava was for.
Does it talk about that by Russia? He says that.
Correct. I knew. The problem is that sometimes they're right. You have machlokas about the scope of the Gzeir Shava. Yeah. So I think all Tosis is saying. Tosis is not saying that Vadai Ula holds that way, but rather that Ula could hold that way. That's all he says. Matzino
lameimar. Right, we're saying we couldn't do that. Veleka lameimar for Ula.
Now, veleka lameimar that Ula must learn.
But he could.
He possibly could.
But he doesn't like that because he has to give himself
a right, presumably that the Tosis would prefer to say he's daf cannot learn that way. But all Tosis is Matzino lameimar. What's that? Correct. Okay. Now let me ask you a different question. If you can't learn, if the Gzeir Shava is limited to Ones and Mefata, is there any way that you could nonetheless learn that Kalhechad the Ika Mamono Malkos Mishalem Ve'enoloke? Is there a way to learn? Because I'm asking the question backwards, but there's an obvious way to learn, and the Gemara seems not to. The Gemara doesn't go any further, but it's possible that Ula holds that is a global din. If that's the case, what would his source be?
Would it be the three sources together?
Yeah. Binyan Amishlosh Aksuv. We shouldn't talk about that question. The Ritva has an answer. You can take a look what he says. In fact, they even asked the question, why not just learn it? It's a funny question. I'm sorry, is that within Ula or within Rabbi Yochanan? No, he asked the Kasha actually within Rabbi Yochanan, why don't you? In other words, you could do in theory, we don't know which way Ula would come out. The Kasha Rabbi Yochanan is once you have Chovel and you have Edim Zomim, so why don't you learn from there, Binyanav? Mishnexuv? Yes, and I know it's funny because the Gemara explained earlier why that isn't so, why you can't learn it, right? That Tzad Chamor. The Gemara earlier suggested that you couldn't learn it from Shnei Ksuvim.
Yeah.
And you can't. You don't have Shlosha Ksuvim because you don't have. You don't have. What's that?
Yeah.
You don't have Onis Mefata for Yochanan because he doesn't hold that it's a din in Mishalim and Aloka. take a look at what the Ritva says there, but the same point can be made about the Gemara on top. In fact, maybe that's the kasha that the Marshal asks, actually. If I'm not mistaken, the Marshal asked that question. He gives an answer. The Marshal didn't like the answer very much.
The Marshal asked about the Narahana.
1 second. What was the Marshal's question? No, I'm sorry. Totally different question. Unrelated to that. Okay. The question, so that's one question to be asked. Why not? I'm not going to really deal with it. Why, you, theoretically, you have an opportunity here to learn everything from the three dinim combined. If you can't learn from the two dinim, kashish from sa'ad chomer, maybe from the three dinim you could. And the truth is, maybe Ula would. As we don't know. It depends on the gears of the Gemara and where you go with it from that. Did you see a question?
Yeah.
What's the tzad chomer by onus mefata? The Gemara hasn't identified any tzad chomer.
No, maybe onus mefata was not, but for the other two, you simply.
But once you have a third pasuk, and that doesn't have a tzad chomer, then you can learn from them.
Can we even talk about how this tzad hashava would work if there was a third part taxon? Because I don't understand any of the mechanisms of how this tzad hashava works.
You don't understand how it works or why it doesn't work.
I mean, the fact that I don't understand why it doesn't work indicates.
No, that's the kasha. Although we showed him as tzad chomer is not a pircha.
No, we showed him how good answer is.
Okay.
They admit that they don't have good answers.
Okay, but even if the Gemara was able to come up with for three, I don't know that there is a tzad chomer. Okay, here's another very very interesting question, which is: now that we have this din of tachas, that your loka in a mishalim in a loka, why do you need the riboy to teach you that chayve lavin? Have a din of kanas, right? If you have a gzeirah shava that comes and teaches you that by onus and mefata, when there's malkos, that you you pay and you don't give kanas. So don't you know now that chayve lavin are bechalal kanas? Because if they weren't bechalal kanas, then you wouldn't need a gzeirah shava to teach you a din that can't exist. What? That's the Marshal's question. Yes, it's.
I don't quite understand. One thing addresses our general approach, and the other one addresses the problem of ruyolo. Since we have ruyolo as an issue, we need to answer it internally from this its own.
I know, but if we're saying that in a case of onei simafata, we have gzeira sheva that teaches you in a case when you're supposed to get malkos that you pay and you don't get the malkos, that implies that you're paying in a case where there should have been malkos. When do you get malkos? By onei simafata. By Chayve Lavin. So what do you see? You see that Chayve Lavin, Nemela, you see, Chayve Lavin, that Mishalim, Veino Loka, that you, that, not Mishalim, that Mishalim.
1 second. We have Chavla Gufe. We have Chad, where Eno Ruilo. We have Chav for Chayve Krasos, where Kishan is not focusing. What's the problem?
Chav for Chayve Lavin.
Why do you want for Chayve Lavin?
Because ordinarily we think that if it's not a din in the.
I know, but I'm telling you that once you have a gzeir shav of tachas that teaches you that in the case of onei simafata where you should have gotten malkos for the avera, but instead of getting the malkos you just pay the money of the knas. So doesn't that tell you that you paid the money of the knas in situations where you would have got malkos, which means chayve lavin?
So chayve lavin would just be a kal chomer then?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What's that? So that's the question that the Marshal asked. He gives a kvetch teretz. His kvetch teretz is that you need the drasha. It might have been that chayve. It's very sharp.
I mean, what was in the Tosfos? In Tosfos is like, I don't want to call it, but in Tosfos is a thought process, right? Where we thought that we need where you need one for. To teach you in a case of interview low, and an additional one to teach you. Never mind, that doesn't work. Yeah.
So the Marshal's answer, and I'm going to leave it at this for now, is that if you didn't have the riboy, you would have just assumed that the pasuk of tachas was to teach you only one specific case of chayve lavin, namely nida. Why? Because nida is ruyala. So there's no havamin to disqualify from the parasha based upon ruyelo, but you might have disqualified from the parasha because you would have said lokev eina mishalim, or you would and you, or you would have said even if you don't get the malchus like Reish Lakish, since you theoretically should have gotten the malchus, you're also potter from paying the money, right? Kalma the rabbamine. So that's why the Torah, that's what you would have said. The Torah was teaching you in a case, you don't need the ribuyim on daf of tesam and beis to teach you that the chayve lav and you pay knas. You don't, and chayve krisis you pay knas. You don't need that for nida. You don't need that for nida. Now, of course, the, right. Because nida, you would have realized, would have been the one case for sure that you would have figured out. I'm sorry, let me say it better. That pasuk is not, that pasuk, that din doesn't teach you anything about nida. Why? Because anida is ruyala. Right? Anida is ruyala. When your wife becomes anida, you're still married. Kiddushin or tofsin. Are you allowed to marry anida? The answer is absolutely yes. Of course you can do kiddushin with anida. We don't allow chuppas nida. It's different issue. Nisun we don't do until she becomes Torah. But she is certainly ruyala. So therefore, the pasuk, the ribuyim, you don't need the ribuyim. So there you don't need the ribuyim for that. You know what you need to know, however, about nida? That you don't say, come live with Rabbi and the Malkos. That's what tachas would be teaching you. Tachas, the only, we have to say you learn the minimum amount of tachas. And what do you learn from tachas? That in a situation like nida, where she's ru'uyalo, you learn that instead of getting Malkos, instead, you pay money. What about Shar Chai Ve'lavin? Well, there you don't know whether or not you pay money or get Malkus, because since they're not Re'uyalo, maybe it doesn't qualify in the Velosi Elisha. That's why we need the Reboy of Nara Hanara Hanara, and that's why we needed two Reboyim. One for Chai Ve'lavin and one for Chai Ve'Krasis.
Wouldn't it residually move over and
No, because you don't use their two ribuyim on daf of tesam and beis. You don't need either of them for nida. Nida is what nida is taught to us by tachas. There must be a case of malchus where she's ruyala, and you pay, and you don't get and you don't get the malchus. That's what tachas teaches you. But it doesn't tell you in situations where she's mamish not ruyala whether you pay knas. Maybe you get malchus because there is no knas. That's why you need the ribuy, one for chayvei lav and one for chayvei krisis. Okay. It's very sharp. You look at the Marsha, he has issues with that, he gives a different answer. Go ahead.
I'm just curious if we could.
Yes, because he goes on to prove other things about Shimon Manasseh and so on. Not everybody has. Yes.
I'm just curious if we could argue from Tosafot's assumption that Asay, Chayve, Asay, and Lavin should be one category, that really, according to the Marshals, we should answer that. We're really bringing Chayve, Asay, but it's one category of.
No, because once, if you were to learn Chayve Lavin from that, and all the Chayve Lavin, where they're not Re'uyim Lo, why would you see Memela, even someone who's not Roy Lo pays Knas? So why would you assume that Chayve Asay wouldn't pay Knas? They're more Roy, they're less unroy than Chayve Lavin.
It's just a different issue.
What do you mean? If we have a makar that says that Chayve Lavin pay Knas, all Chayve Lavin, not just Nida. Then certainly, and what that means that even though you're not allowed to marry this woman, she's still called Ruyalo for whatever reason. As we don't, Velosi Elisha doesn't disqualify her. If Velosi Elisha doesn't disqualify Chayve Lavin, it certainly doesn't disqualify Chayve Asay. So the only way to say this, according to the Marshal, is to say that the Pasuk of Tachas would have taught you Nida only, and then the Reboy would have been for Chayve Lavin and not Ruyim Lo, and the second Reboy for Krasis. What's that?
He doesn't have the pasuk bringing Chayve Asay in one category. That's like irrelevant.
No, what I'm telling you is that once you've learned that Chayve Lavin, once you've learned that Chayve Lavin are considered, are in the parasha even though they're not Re'uyalo, certainly Chayve Asay, you're going to pay Knas.
Right, so he's just not concerned with this question off the bat. That's right.
Okay, yep. Fine. Okay. Yes.
No, sorry.
All right, so let's go on to the Gemara now. Oh, you want to finish the last line. It's a high, difficult last line. Go ahead. So what is Ula saying here? And this is a comment you made earlier.
So...
Uh, you have to say for Ula that the Pasuk Tachas is extra. Which I presume means that he's claiming that it's Mufne. So that you can use it for Gzeir Shavit. There's only one problem. You need the Pasuk to teach you Abaye is Din. Satosa says... What does Boshes Ubegam mean? I know what the words mean, but what does it mean in the context of Tosas here?
That it's the inclusion of Boshes Ubegam separate from...
The 50 Kesef does not include the Boshes Ubegam. So Abaye learned it from Tachas Asher Ina and learned it from Chima Hanash Chiva Levadis Hamishim Kesef. So Tosas says that Ula, who needs to use Tachas with the Zer Shav and therefore needs for it to be extra, the word Tachas, Tosos learns, Ula learns the din that the 50 only includes the knas. It's not everything. It's not all tashlumin included. It's not a package price. He learns that from where Rava learns it from, which is not from Tachas, but rather from Vinasana Isha Shochei Hima. That's the Gemara. I understand. No, but the Gemara says for Rava. The question is, but what does Ula hold?
The Gemara
says that.
Why
Tosas felt the need to comment it. Okay. Fine. He's just right. There's a note in the Hagos Tzionim. Just point it. That's the Gemara later. I saw that note before. Okay. Fine. Okay. Continue in the Gemara, please.
Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Tema Achoton Na'arfi. Can she hit your bar or can she leave?
Okay. What did Rabbi Yochanan say?
So.
What are Rabbi Yochanan's words that he actually uttered? I do not believe Rabbi Yochanan said all those words.
Okay.
I believe what Rabbi Yochanan probably said was, Kancha Hisruba, Kancha Lo Hisruba. Why do I say that? Because Afilu Tema Chosonara, that only makes sense if Rabbi Yochanan were responding to Ula. But given that Ula is a kind of generation later than Rabbi Yochanan, if he's a Talmud, I mean, Ula is one of the people who makes Aliyah, but if he's anything, he's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know if we... what's that? I don't know if Ula... I'm not sure Ula was one of the people who went back and forth. Ravin and Ravdimi went back and forth. I don't know. Maybe Ula did. But I would say that Ula, if anything, is a Talmud... check, but he's probably Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, if anything. So it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Yochanan, unless you say, Ula said it in the base medrash, Rabbi Yochanan's responding, it doesn't make sense in the sugi. I think that this is a case, the Balei, remember that the Yerushalmi presented the Deos in a different order. They presented Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish together, and then they presented Rav Nosson Bar Hashai. The Bavli, for whatever reason, has chosen to present Ula's Shita first. And now when they get to Rabbi Yochanan Shita, so the Misadrim of the Bavli insert the words in, Afilu Tema Acho Sonara, simply to explain how Rabbi Yochanan differs from Ula. But the reality is probably what Rabbi Yochanan said was Kan Kishisurba, Kan Shuzba. There was a stira presented, and Rabbi Yochanan responded by solving the stira by saying, the Mishnah in Malkos, where you get Malkos, is talking about a case where they gave you Asra. The Mishnah here in Ksubos, where you don't get Malkos, where you pay money, is because there was no Asra. Yes, it doesn't, this has no impact upon the chain. This is my suggested layer here has no impact whatsoever on the meaning of what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, just pointing out that the framing of Rabbi Yochanan against Ula is probably the framing of the Masad there, not Rabbi Yochanan's actual words. Okay, Yitzi?
Barring the Rishalmi, why not? I mean, it could just be simple enough to suggest that he was obviating another opinion, which we identify with Ula. It doesn't have to be that it was Ula's Kiddush.
Again, so what you're saying is a Hashara Balma. Right, even if we don't have the skip for the Yerushalmi mode, you're making a guess. But I know that Ula says X, and Rabbi Yochanan seems to be responding to Ula, and that doesn't make any sense. And it would make more sense. It's easy to identify what the extra piece is. Afilu tema b'chosonara. Right, it make that line, makes sense only as a response to Ula's statement. But it doesn't seem that Rabbi Yochanan should be responding to Ula. So I think the simplest solution is to say that's an editorial comment of the Masad, they're not actually Ula's words. Okay.
You have to.
So I said it's possible he's responding to one of the Talmidim uttering something. It is possible. It seems unlikely that it's going to be. Normally, I don't want to say never, but normally you expect the Rabbeim to be presented first. But okay, there's no way to know for sure. But I would just suggest that those words are not actually, that's the Gemara's words. Okay? Okay, so here, why don't we ask the same question that Tosus asked on the Gemara statement in Ula? That maybe this is the exception to the rule. So the answer is because, as the Gemara will see in a moment, it's not derived. Well, let's read on. So what does the Samechle teach you here?
So the Samechle, so our Kedei Shato teaches that you get only one of them, and the Smichlos teaches you which one you get.
Correct. The Samechle Aram Yakenish, that means you get Malkos, you don't pay Mammon. So why not say that this is a din for Rabbi Yochanan unique within Kan Kish Hisruba, Kan Kishal Hisruba? Right now, there's when Ula, you could argue that Mishalim in a Loka is a local din. Why can't you say the same thing? Why don't you ask Tosus as Kasha here? The answer is simple. The only reason why Tosus asked the question there is because we had a mucker that would have made us think that by this particular din, specifically by Ones and Mefata, we had a mucker that you're Mishalim in a Loka, because the Gemara earlier had said, because of Ribuyim, we hold that Chayve Lavin, you pay Kras. So, and what was the marker for that? It was Bzula, Basula, Habsulos, whatever it was, whatever the Reboy was. So that's why we thought that maybe that could be a marker that you're Mishalim Vein Aloka, but only by Ones and Mefata. Everywhere else you'd be located Mishalim. But for Rabbi Yochanan, and especially with the drasha that the Gemara gives, and we don't know of another drasha, in other words, we don't know of a drasha that is specific to Ones and Mefata that we should think that the din of Lokem and Mishalim is unique within Ones and Mefata. So therefore, that would be the assumption. If Rabbi Yochanan, if we have no known pasuk in Ones and Mefata that teaches you this, and Rabbi Yochanan tells you that the din is that kan kishisuba, kan kshoshuba, you can assume that that's the din always. Okay. So now the Gemara asks a question. Okay, so we have an exception to the rule. It's Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara wants to say Rabbi Yochanan holds that you always get Malkus and you don't pay money. Yet, when it comes to Chova B'chaveiro, so Mamona Mashal and Milka V'laki. So there's a solution to the problem, if you want, to have Rabbi Yochanan say that you're Loka V'ayin Mashalim even by Chova B'chaveiro. What's the solution? You're only chai to pay chavala
if you did not get asra.
If you got asra, then you pay. Then you get malchus. But maybe you're paying all these things the Torah prescribes as payment are dafka when you don't get malchus.
But the ha'amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hikahu haka'ah she'im bach shavetruta loke. Hechidami, idolo atubei.
One second. Okay, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Yochanan says if you hit somebody else, hakar shembo shava pruta, so you're loka. Now, did you look up the other cases with this Gemara curse?
I did not.
Did anybody look them up? So if you did, you would have just gotten a little bakias. There are no significant differences for our sake. But make sure you look them up anyway. Okay. Go ahead.
Hikidani, either lo atrube, am I loka? El pshita de atrube.
Right. In other words, when Rabbi Yochanan says that Hakashe Moshe Pruta Yiloka, presumably there must be Hasra involved because there's no Hasra, with the exception of Adam Zom, you never get Malkos. And if the fact that he formulates it, he calls Shemo Shavaputa, that Loka implies that if he has Shavaputa's worth, well, you can pay, and that's the difference. If I do that damage less than a Shavaputa, I don't pay. Now, I'm mutter to do, but I don't pay. So if Rabbi Yochanan believed that You're always loka mishalim when you get asra. He shouldn't have said he ko haka sheish bapachs misheva pruta. He should have said he ko haka v'hisruba. The fact that he says he ko haka v'shem bosheva pruta, that he's loka, shows that they are edim and asra. And the reason why you get malchus is because it's less than a sheva pruta, there's no tashlumen. But were there to be tashlumen, so then you would pay and you wouldn't get malchus. So you see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that mishalim v'eino loka, one mishalim v'eino loka when it comes to chovel. There's no way of getting around that. So the Gemara says.
So okay, the Amar Rabbi Yuwa Beferush Ripta Torah Idi Zomim
Tashim. So just as he said, what was he explaining? The Gemara will explain about where. Well, let's wait in a moment. The Gemara will explain where he's coming from.
Achanami Beferush Ripta Torah Chogel B'Chaveru Tashim.
Okay, you know what? Here it's Exeris Hakosov. In other words, this is exceptional. Here you're Mishalim Benoloka. Okay, and what does the Gemara say in continuation?
The Hecha Itmar and Rabbi Yuah, aha, me'itin anu et ish ploni shechai v'chavero matayim suz, v'dim tzu zonmin, lokin u'mishalmi, shalom hashim ha'nevian lidei makot mivion lidei tashlim, div Rabbi Mink. So
now they're going to quote the whole machlokas, and Rabbi Illa commented on that.
So Rabbi Meir says that if Edim zonmin testify that if someone did some kind of matayim suz and they're trying to be zonmin and they get Malkos and Tashlumin because they are over there because they're over something different that they're over something that requires them to be Tashlumin and something that requires them to be Malkos and it's two different.
Okay, so that's going to require well 1 second.
Well, it's
you already.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Okay, all the we know is that Ramir says that if I testify that somebody owes money, and I'm an Eid Zomim, I'm made into an Eid, we, the two of us, whoever the two of us are made into Eidim Zomim, so the din is that you are Mishalim Veloka. You're Mishalim because of Kasher Zomim, that's what you want to do to the witness, and you're Loka because Losana V'reyach HaEidshav, or HaEidshaker. So now the Gemara says...
Is that how we pass, or that's what happens?
We don't pass like Ramir, pass like the Chacham. Chachamim say, if you're paying, you don't get malchus. And the assumption there is what? That the Chachamim hold.
That the Chachamim hold what? That you know, the Lach Mishalim and the Mishalim.
One action.
Kol Mishalim Eino Loka.
So,
So when you read that line in the first place, the first time around, that line doesn't tell you what you do. It just says, if you're paying, you're not getting malchus. Doesn't mean you have to pay. Now, the Gemara will take it that way, but when you just read Kol HaMashalim Eloka, it means you can't have two things at once. So the Gemara says, though, and that's what the Gemara's question is, V'neima. Okay, very nice. So we agree. You Rechacham have some principle, wherever they get it from, that you can't be Mishalim and Loka. But who says you should be Mishalim? Maybe you should just be Loka. To which the Gemara says, she says the Torah was explicitly Marbe Eden Zomim that they should pay whenever that's what they tried to do, and even if there happens to be Malchus with it, so then we would say Kedei Rish Aso. And now the Gemara, of course, wants to know. Yeah, okay, that's, so you claim that, but how do you know that? But anyway, once we know that, once Rav Ilah says Beferish Ripsa Torah Eden Zom Tashlumin, so we can say the same thing by Chova B'Chaver. Beferish Ripsa Torah Chova Chaver Tashlumin. Now the Gemara is going to explain how you know each one.
Yeah, and then
Yad B'Yad, Wamali. In the next pasuk, or two pasukim later, it's next pasuk. V'lo sochos einecha, nefesh b'nefesh, ayin shem ishen, no, I must have added something. Yad B'Yad, Rabu Rag. I'm not looking at the pasuk. I should look at the pasuk. Okay. Okay. What? 1 second. Which number guy is this? Vav. Oh, I'm sorry. We should need to know the next pasuk also. What's the pasuk in between? The cholam yishmu v'yiro v'le yosif alasos od kadavar raza b'kirbecha v'lo sachos einecha nefesh b'nefesh ayin b'ayin shem yad. That pasuk is very important. You know why the pasuk is very important? Because Rabbi Meir claims that's the hasra.
That's the hasara.
That's the hasara for Edim Zomim.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so
this is the Chachamim.
What's that?
This is the Chachamim who can. That's not the Azhara.
It's an important passage to know.
No, that's all I'm stating. I'm not
common, like there is no Azhara for Edim Zomim.
Well, of course, there is.
Why?
Of course, there is.
No,
that's not the Azhara.
Yeah, it is.
Let's just wait. Well, we don't have to deal with that issue now. Go ahead.
Okay.
So what's the reboy?
And then Kaini Nazenbo Lamali.
Right.
The Varshiesh Bonatina. Mainihu Mamon.
Okay. So by when we say Yad Biyad in that pasuk. So there Yad Biyad is unnecessary. The whole pasuk is unnecessary, actually. But once we say Yad Biyad, well, that teaches us Davar Hanita and Miyad Liyad. And same thing we say by kasher sakei aselo, because then later it says v'ish ki tein mum badam kasher. No, I'm making up the pasuk again. Kasher yitein mum badam ken yinasen ba. So what do you need that last part for? Therefore, it teaches you again. Yinasen is davar sheyesh bo nesina. Okay, so this is we're not done yet. This is Rabbi Yochanan's position. Rabbi Yochanan believes that whenever there's a conflict between giving a person Malkus and Mamon, you give the Malkus, you don't give the Mamon. Unless you can't give them the Malkus. If you can't give them the Malkus, then they can pay the money. There are two exceptions to the rule. Edim Zomim and Chova B'Chaver. And for whatever reason, and some of the Rishonim talk about, Rabbi Yochanan cannot learn a binyan av from there. And we saw the svara in the previous section, actually, but we might come back to that a little bit. Zach?
When we ask the question why do the Rabbanan say if they're paying they're not going to get Malkus, why isn't it an easier answer that that's the Chum Hold, Ramona Mishalim, Milko Laki? We have to say, like, somehow we're forced to say that it's a special din by Yom Zom. This should be the makor for Ula's din. I mean, makor in terms of Mishnayos.
I understand, but we explain why it's not a makor, why you can't learn from it. Because Ma'ala Edom Zom Shekenetz Yechanas Ra.
No, I'm saying, why don't we say that this is proof that the Chachamim held like Ula?
Where? How do you see this proof?
By just not saying Bafer Shu to Torah. It's like it's not Bafer Shu to Torah. It's not like Torah said it explicitly. Then you have to get it from a whole deal in the Pesukim. So why don't you just say that this is clearly the Chachamim held that the Mamon Mishalim Mekol Laki.
Why? Why do you assume it? You don't know that it's all the. I would tell you, in fact, I disagree with that in general. The Chachamim say Kol Mishalim Ein Eloka. Even if you want to argue, which the Gemara clearly does, and it's not unreasonable, that the Chachamim are paskin here that you Mishalim Ein Eloka, they didn't say that Becholmako Mishalim Ein Eloka. They said Kol Hamishalim Ein Eloka. If you're paying, then you don't get Malkus. But that doesn't tell you whether you do or don't pay in other cases. It only tells that the Chachamim formulate the statement that way, Kol Hamishalim Ein Eloka. And remember, it's true for the Chachamim as well, Kol Eloka Ein Mishalim. If you're getting Malkus, if you're getting
this.
What's that?
They didn't say.
No, agreed. But I'm telling you that kolam mishalim in a loka doesn't mean that whenever there's Malkus and Mamon, you pay Mamon. It just means that if you're paying Mamon, you're not getting Malkus. When the Chachamim uttered that statement in this, Ramir said that you get both Mamon and Malkus. The Chachamim was said to him, and it indicated that in this case they held that mishalim of in a loka. The Chachamim said kolam mishalim in a loka. They also would hold Kol Aloka Vein Mishalim. The only question is, in what situations do you get the Malkus, in which situations do you pay the money? But their formulation doesn't tell you, that doesn't suggest in any way like Ula. Ula said that Mishalim Vein Aloka. The Chacham said Kol Mishalim Vein Aloka. Very different. You did, yeah?
And also the line of, sorry, and also the line of Loka Vein Kol Mishalim Vein Aloka relevant, aside from the case of where both are incurred at the same time.
I don't understand that. I think. No, go ahead.
Sorry. The way you're reading Kol Mishalim Vein Eloka is you're trying to say that it's not a direct response to cases of Kimlet. A case where both are incurred at the same time.
Well, it's not a statement of general principle how you decide. It's simply stating that any time you are in Mishalim, you're not Loki. It would also be true that if you're going to be Loki, you're not Mishalim. And this particular case of Eden Zomim, they formulate this way because Kala Mishalim ain't a Loki. Since we know you pay by Eden Zomim, and therefore you don't get Malchus. The Gemara's question is, we accept the fact, the initial response is, the Ema, where was it? I lost the line. The name of Kalaloka Eina Mishalim happens to be true also for the Chachamim. Kalaloka Eina Mishalim. The question is, what do you do? What's the rule?
Do they have a general principle? Like,
well the assumption for Rabbi Yochanan here is that Edom Zonim is Mishalim Veino Loka. And the Chachamim said, we know from this parsha, because of, let's say, Kasher Zama, let's accept that for the moment, that you have to pay the Tashlumin. So, Kol HaMishalim, once you pay the Tashlumin, you're Eino Loka. But that doesn't mean that in every situation you pay the Tashlumin. It just means in any situation that you happen to pay, then you don't get Malkos. But that doesn't tell you what you do in any given situation where there happens to be Mammon and Malkos, an option for the two. That you can't tell. You can't tell it all from what the Chacham is saying in the Mishnah Malkos. Does that make sense?
I don't get why it's not the same general principles.
Because the general principle the Chacham are uttering that if you pay, you don't get Malkos. And only Rabbi Meir disagrees with that. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that. Rabbi Nasser Ma'ul agrees with that. Rish Lakish agrees with that. That if you're Mishalim, you're not Loka. The question is, why? Ula would say it's a general rule. As a general rule, whenever you have Mishalim, Malkos and Tashlumin, Ula says it's a general rule, Mishalim. And therefore, Kala Mishalim ain't a Loka. Rabbi Yochanan believes it's a general rule, whenever you have the two, you're Loka, ain't a Mishalim. But here he has Xeris HaKosov, that you're Mishalim, and therefore Kala Mishalim ain't a Loka. That's the Chacham Mishita. So that's my point. He would have said he doesn't utter it. He doesn't formulate it as kol hamishalim ani lo. He doesn't formulate it as that whenever there's mamon malkos mishalim ve'ino loka. He formulates it kol hamishalim if you happen to be paying ve'ino loka. You can't get two punishments at the same time. And he believes that by edim zomimim mishalim, but you don't know what he holds by a whole host of other dinim. By Ones, I don't know if it's a whole host of other dinim. We probably agree on most things. On Ones Simafata of Achosa, where in fact Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. He says if there's Malkus, then if there's Malkus and Mammon, then you get the Malkus, you don't pay the money. So that's why I think. Now it's Kol HaMishalim Eino Loka, but Kol HaLoka Eino Mishalim are both true. But to utter one of those two statements in this context tells you what Rabbi Yochanan holds by Edom Zomim. Had he said Kol HaMishalim and Kol HaLoka Eino Mishalim, you would have said that by Edom Zomim he gets Malkus, doesn't pay the money. But because he says Kol HaMishalim, because the Chacham, not Reuchon, because the Chacham say Kol HaMishalim Eino Loka, that so that means that Edom Zomim pay money, and since they pay money, they don't get Malkus. But that doesn't tell you what's the general rule, one way or the other. Okay. Any questions so far about Rabbi Yochanan? If not, read on.
Rabbi Yochanan, my time lo amar and this. Okay. Imkein bitalta irvatach lechalotzi alai.
Okay.
I did not understand how this question got off the ground.
Well.
Look, I didn't understand how it gets off. Like, the answer is just so obvious. The Gemara says it later.
Correct.
It's such an obvious answer.
Correct. So obvious that you should look in the Ritva. I'll talk about what was Rabbi Yochanan's Havamina. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara suggests, again, it's not Rabbi Yochanan.
And so what's the Gemara's
Havamina? What's the Gemara's explaining Rabbi Yochanan's Havamina? Rabbi Yochanan, my time alama kula, im came batalta ervasa chos chalosagalai. So, what are you talking about? In other words, it means if you pater someone when he rapes his sister, and you pat him for Malkus and you make him pay. So what happened with the lav of Eras HaChoscha Lo Segale? Is that even a pasuk? All right. No, it's not a pasuk. I didn't think so. Yeah, it's a shortened form of a pasuk. Right. There's a lot of words missing in between there, but that's okay. The Gemara is giving you the abridged version. What's that? Correct. And since you're supposed to be chayef malchus ervas achoscha, therefore, if you were to say that in this case b'shalom eloke, then you would be mivatel the pasuk. So the Gemara turns around and says, "What are you talking about?"
Okay, well, that's not the first. I mean, the Gemara's first dechia is not even the most obvious dechia. I mean, it kind of is in a sense, but like it's kind of a roundabout way to get there.
Okay, it's the I understand, but to prove that it doesn't constitute bittel. Just because the Malchus doesn't apply in all circumstances doesn't, right? The Gemara demonstrates it by going to these other things, which Rabbi Yochanan happens to agree to. So the Gemara says, on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph.
So Chol B'Chaver Nami, Im Kein B'Talta Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef. Eish B'Zom Min Nami, Im Kein B'Talta B'Hayayim B'Hakos HaRasha.
Okay, so if you're going to argue that the mere fact that in some cases you pay and you don't get Malkos means that Bitalta, so then you mevatel the din of Chol B'Chavera. Or you mevatel the din of eight of Kasher Zaman.
Yeah.
Kasher Zaman, one second. I'm sorry, you mevatel the din of Malkos by Yidim Zaman. Vayem ben Akos HaRasha. So the Gemara says, obviously that's a ridiculous question. Why? Ella. And therefore, Achoso Nami Ika.
Achoto Nami Ika Lakiuma Be Achoto Bogeret.
Okay.
So, which is what the Gemara should say. Away.
Okay. So what is the assumption here that by Edom Zomamim it says you get Malkos, but that Malkos how are you Mavata? The answer is you Mekayim that partially by Edom Ano Beploni Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Okay, Chovah B'Chaveiro. You can say that the Lav is by something that's Hakah is Pachas Mishava Puta. So by Achoso, you can say that the lav that you get Malkos on is by Bogeres. Okay. Fine. So you take a look. The Ritva explains why the Gemara thought initially that Chovel and Edom Zomim were actually not Bitalta, whereas Achoso would be Bitalta. Okay. Now the Gemara continues.
Okay. So Amar Lacha or Ella or Amar Lacha or Chanan, Hi Tachat Asher Inah Mibay Lei Lechadat Bachet.
Okay, so from Yochanan doesn't darshan Ulas Gera Shava, what does he do with the word Tacha? So there he learns the din of Abaye.
I guess more precisely what we're doing is since we still need an explanation as to why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have Ulas. It's not just like
correct.
He doesn't use Gera Shava. It's like why doesn't he? Ula. And the answer is because he uses the
Zerushot
or something else.
Well, no. Right, no, but the point is that the question the Gemara is asking originally is why does Rabbi Yochanan not say like Ula, who derives it from the Zerushot? If he can't derive the Zerushot, then obviously he doesn't hold like Ula. So the Gemara says that he holds that Tachas like Abaye.
Amar Abaye? Amar Kra, Tachat Asher Inah. Hi, Tachat Asher Inah.
Right. In other words, that's just for the Inui. Now, how do you know that the Inui doesn't actually include Boshes Pagam? I don't know. I guess it's because Inui is not Tsar either. What actually Inui is Tsar?
Yeah.
If you look at the Targumim of Inui, there are three different translations of the three main Targumim. Unglis, I believe, translates Inui Lo Sa'anu. V'ini semes nasho sechem. He translates use anun. Neofiti and Yonason translate differently. One of them translates sisagfun, and one of them translates sitzaarun. So one of them translates it as tsar, and one of them translates it as siguf. Right? Siguf is a rabbinic, it's not a biblical Hebrew word. It's a rabbinic Hebrew word which means to afflict oneself. You've heard of it? Siguf, samach gimopei. It's pretty common. So, what's that?
It's in one of the Kabbalistic Smira Sachals.
Okay. Thank you for the musical effects.
Yes.
Fine. So now, so anyway, but somehow Abaye seems to think that that the Inui is just the Knas somehow, but the Boshes HaPagam that exists by all other Hovlim, that exists independently. Okay? And what is, and what does Rava say? I'm sorry, if Ula, if Ula uses Tachas for Xerah Shava, where is he going to learn the din?
If Ula not going to Rava. So that's where he
does. Amar Rava.
The Amar Rava. Amar Krav. And Natan Ha'ish HaShochev Yimachal Abi Hana'ara Chamishim Kasef. Hana'at Shriva Chamishim. Mechlal Te'ika Boshet.
That Xerah Shava I understand a little bit more. Okay. One second. Had a question. Ah. So, if we stop here, who do we paskin like? Ula Rabbi Yochanan.
Ula.
Why?
Because he held by Rava.
Ah, excellent. So that's the little bit of the discussion in Tosos. Tosos has here. In other words, if Ula holds like learns it from Rabbah, then presumably Rabbah holds like Ula.
Well,
that's the question. We're not going to answer it now. I just want to point that.
When do we hold like Rabbah over?
When do we hold like Rabbah over Abaye?
We only can like when it comes to like. I mean, Rabbah and Abaye don't have a machlokes halacha here, do they? They just have.
So you're suggesting a different answer. But I'm just interested in the question right now. It's a question you should automatically think about, which is if this Gemara suggests that the Machlokas Ulor Miochanan is somehow tolerating the Machlokas Rav and Abaye because of the reading of Psukim, and if you know that as a rule you're passing like Rava, now you're going to contest do we really passing like Rava in all cases, but all these cases, but if you assume that, then you have to perhaps assume that you're passing like whoever Rava holds like, which would happen to be Ula. It happens not to work in the sense that we don't paskin like Ula, and yet we presumably tend to hold like Rava. So that Tosis we'll talk about.
No, I mean, like, when we say we hold like
you're saying when there's no machlokas and din, just the machlokas and derivation. I understood what you were asking.
Okay.
So that's the question. Yeah. Do we really paskin like Rava in all cases?
Okay.
I don't mean all cases. We paskin like Rava against Abaye except for by Yal Kigam. So the question is, Meshachta once made this observation. I forget who he quoted. If he quoted anybody or just took it as a davar pasha. Does this mean that whenever Rav and Abaye argue, we pass like Rav against Abaye except for six times? And if you discover a new machlokas Rav and Abaye, you would also pass like Rav? Or does that mean no? It means that the Misadre HaGemara went through all the cases of the machlokas Rav and Abaye. And it turns out that in those cases, we pass like Rav all the time except for in six cases.
Is that a rule, or is it a statement?
Or is it an empirical observation? That's the question. So if you assume, particularly the latter, that it's an empirical observation, then one might more likely to be, say, what Daniel is suggesting, that by something which is not, there's no machlokas lahalacha made between Abaye and Rava, so it's not going to be counted in the Al-Kagams. We only count in the Al-Kagams those things that are actually a machlokas ladina. But since this has no nafkamina, it would appear, it's really just a, well, I'll call mashmas dorshim ikabinayu. So then maybe we don't paskin like Rava against Abaye. Okay. Fine. Now, yes, Yitzi?
But it's not like the Gemara always says, you know, the El Tataka Rava. It just happens to be that it seems to, like from the Rishonim, we always follow Rava. It's not, it seems like a similar principle to Beit.
No, but the Gemara says that that we always paskin like Rava, except for the Yal Kagam. So the Rishonim aren't assuming on their own. Gemara says that. It might be the stomach, it might be the Misadre Hashas. It may not be the Amorim, but nonetheless. Right. So the Rishonim are always assuming it because any Machlokas, the Rishonim are usually talking about Machlokas that are found in the Gemara. And that should be the, you know, end of the discussion. And said, Daniel, I mean, even say that Tosfos is working against you.
Okay.
Not that, I'm just, he's not making that assumption. He wants to say that even here, we should paskin like Rava against Abaye. Okay. Well, we'll touch upon that at some point. Okay, so now comes along Rabbi Lazar. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. We can pass the baton to Shua. Did you get? I don't know if you did. You get this far? I know you were.
I don't think we got this far.
Who has gotten this far? Who would like to read? Anybody get this far? Nobody. Wow. What? Oh, you were doing, yeah. I should have. I'm sorry, I didn't send that email. I know I mentioned this last week. What I would like, what it's useful to do, I think, when you're going to do a sugya, any sugya like this, is to read through a section of the Gemara before going back and looking at the Rishonim. It's a much more, I think it's more productive.
You'll be able to find that new section. To
yeah, exactly.
Touche. Okay, so I should give more specific guide. You are correct.
Yes.
You are correct. I say that partially because I've been through the parak and been through the sugya, and so I sort of have a sense of the outline of the sugya. So there's part A, part B, part C. So fair enough. So what I would have liked, and it's my fault for not specifying, would have been to go through the two dots on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis.
Oh, wow.
Right, before coming back, but it's just helpful to get the flow of the Gemara, you know, the step stock there, and then you can analyze as carefully as you want along the way, but if you step into Tosfos on a regular basis, other than to look at a question, if you're bothered by the question, you're going to get bogged down. And sometimes it's easier just to see, Schechter tells a story, and again, it's very much L'shitaso, and about the guy who was in, I just want to make sure it's recording. No, I wasn't shutting it off.
Okay.
No, I wasn't, I just wanted to, you know. I remember he told a story of some guy who, with a kola, was learning Kiddushin. I think he was a Talmud at the time. Talmud, or I don't know, long time ago. And this guy decided he was going to write Kiddushin on Misachas Kiddushin. So they learned out Beis Amin Aleph. And he scribbles notes in a page and page and page in a notebook. And then they got to that Beis Amin Beis. And he realized that the Gemara asked and answered all the questions. He has to cross everything out. Now, there is merit, of course, to writing and then crossing out. That is a different story. There's a famous story. I heard it not about any particular names, but I think it's supposed to be at the Ktsosin and the Sivos. Now, I don't know. I'm under the impression, who do we usually paskin like?
Sivos.
No. Yes, Ktsosin and the Sivos are not the same person. The author of the Ktsos HaChoshen, I believe, was also the author of the Shev Shmaitza and the Avnei Miluim.
That's the one I wrote about.
Yes. So the no, not Reb Chaim Heller.
You're right.
No. It's much older than that. So anyway, so the story that's told, and I heard recently just in when talking in Reb Shechter, someone was telling Reb Shechter the story he likes to tell, that we always followed in Siva, so I didn't know that we had such a call, but that the story that's told is that there were two Talmidei Chachamim, and this does fit actually the profile. One would publish lots of Sfarim but never had tremendous success. The other one would publish very little but had tremendous success. And they met one another, and the one who had little success but a lot of Sfarim asked the other one, why is it that you have so much success? So he said to him, well, what are you doing in the early hours of the morning? So he said, well, that's the best time. It's the time my head is clearest and the best time to be working. So that's when I'm busy writing my svarim. And so the response was, well, that's the explanation. You're busy early in the morning writing, and I'm busy erasing. So that point can be taken to an extreme.
I'm sorry, I really don't. I guess he's realizing the stupidity of himself. Is that what he's doing?
Not the stupidity. Realize that sometimes you write... So when you write, in other words, you often write things, but often what you erase and what you reevaluate is more important than else. And part of it is that when you write, writing things is the time when things become most clear in your head.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually have to sit down and write something out, for most people, that's my experience, I think it's most people's experience, that's when things are become most clearly crystallized. So the key is the next step of going back. once you've done that and then evaluating what you've done wrong. Now, anyway, that's what the story is. So I'm not suggesting that you should just learn Shas Bekiyas and you don't do anything else until you learn Shas Bekiyas, because that's not realistic and it's not fundamentally necessary. I mean, it might be good to learn all of Mishnayos first, but you'll manage without it. But nonetheless, I think when doing a sugya, it is helpful. It is helpful at least to get some type of a skira, some type of a scan, an overview or something like that, so you'll have a better perspective of what's going on. Because remember, when Tosus is writing, Tosus knows the maskan of the sugya. And very often what the Rishonim are discussing is within the stages of the sugya, but nonetheless they often do invoke what comes later, and you want to know what comes later. Okay, so anyway, so that's why I assume. So we'll go on a little further. So I will take, if you, nobody's gotten this far, I'll take the liberty of reading here. It's my turn to read. Okay, I don't have a chavrusa though, so I don't know what happens if, you know, if I don't want to read. If I exercise my one exemption, what happens now? Okay, I don't. The Rebbe doesn't get an exemption. Fine. So anyway, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Eidim Zomimim, Mamona Mishalmei Amukal Alaki Mishum Dalav Bnei Hasaraninu. So firstly, the Maseres HaShas corrects this to Rabbi Elazar. Now, why is this Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer? Because the only Rabbi Eliezer Stam, it's found. In fact, the only Rabbi Eliezer, only Eliezers that I'm aware of are found in Tanayim. And this is clearly a memor of an Amora. There is a famous Rabbi Elazar Stam of the Mishnah. The Stam town of Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. He was one of the big five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the later Talmidim, Rabbi Senu Shebedarim. Maybe six, Rabbi Nehemiah might have been the sixth. And the Rabbi Elazar, who is the Amora, who occasionally quotes Rabbi Elazar the Tana, even though I think there's like a generation between them, is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, whose name, in fact, more than one generation, a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, whose full name was Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos. Rashi, in a few places in Shas, points this out, when you have one quoting the other. Right? One is Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos, the Amora, and the other, Eretz Yisrael, Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and the other is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, fourth generation Tana, from Usha. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Eidim Zomimim Mamona Mishalmei Umilkal Olaki, because they're Labanei Hasra. You know why Eidim Zomim pay? It's not because Beferish Ribsa Torah Eidim Zomim Tashlumin, but rather it's because there's no way to give Eidim Zomim Malkas. Why? Because you can't give them Hasra. So the truth be told, you don't even have to read on in the Gemara to figure out an obvious question that should strike you. There's one problem with what Rabbi Lazar says, and it should be obvious. Yitzi? So number one, you could ask the question. That's not even the question I think the Gemara asks. Because, you know, maybe Kasher Zamam doesn't apply there because there's no Hasra. No.
That's a Ben Grusha.
Yeah, Vayon Ben Akosa Rasha, which applies to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. How do you give Malkus then? You can't say you don't give Malkus in that case because there's no Hasra, because the Torah says you give Malkus. Right, it says Vayam Ben Akosar, whatever the case is, Vayam Ben Akosar Rasha. So the Gemara will ask that question afterwards, right? But if you're reading carefully and thinking carefully, think about the premise of the question, the argument that Rabbi Lazar is you can't have Hasra, you always pay Mammon by Eidim Zomim, because Eidim Zomim are not B'nai Malkus because they're not B'nai Hasra. Rav is going to explain now why can't you give Hasra to Eidim Zomim. But accepting whatever the reason is, whatever the reason Hasra doesn't work, so once you say that you can't give Malkus to Eidim Zomim because that's right, and that's why you Mishal Veno Loka, but it's not irrelevant to anywhere else, so what about whatever Vayon Ben Akosa Rasha deals with, which we say is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? How do you give the Eidim Zomim Malkus for that?
Well, so it could be that because in all the other cases, because there's a preference towards giving them their property.
Did you learn this Gemara already?
Not this year.
Okay. Well, maybe you're remembering. Because that's, I think, what the Gemara doesn't...
No, I did Makot, and I did the third paragraph.
So the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but I think Tosus does.
Because you could say because in the other case...
Or Rashi does, actually, probably. Somebody spell that piece out. I don't think it was in the Gemara. Anyway, okay, so the Gemara now continues. Rava, Amar Rava, Teda. This must be correct that you can't give them Hasra. Why? Nisri Bahu Amas. When are you going to warn them? Nisrei b'humeikara, when they first walk into Beis Din, Amri, which is short for Amrin, they will say, Ishtalin. Well, you forgot.
Amri.
What's that?
We're going to say what it's short for. We should at least get the commas instead of the pasach.
Don't start with me. Okay. Amri, Ishtalin, we forgot. Okay, that seems to me, you know, that's odd. You know, if I give up Adam Hasra and, you know, if the guy, if I give you, don't shoot Reuven, tell Reuven, don't shoot Shimon. Okay, and now Reuven pauses for a moment to clean his gun and check that the chambers are properly filled and the gun is not stuffed up, and now he fires. You're going to say what he forgot?
Well, are they saying that they forgot their... Is there a thing that they forgot their agent?
No, Shachachnu Hasra. Harei Shebat Lasra. So unless you say that, you know, the difference is there. It, you know, I don't know.
I mean, that would be a great...
Oh, so I know what the answer is. The answer is, well, no. Because I think that the answer...
Mikar means before they come into Beis Din. That's a long time.
What do you mean? When how do we know that they're going to come and testify? When they walk into Beis Din. And notice, by the way, the Gemara here also, there's a rule... Right, there's no rule, I should say, being assumed here, of toch kedei dibur.
They tried to toch kedei dibur for Eden Zom and somewhere else.
Well, later the Gemara is going to do that, but the Gemara's assumption here is that if you warn the Eden when they walk into Beis Din, they can say they forgot. Why? Because what? Because it's not toch kedei dibur? I don't think so. The Gemara doesn't evoke that idea yet. Yitzi?
Could it just be a way of saying that, you know, your hatra is not going to work? You would have needed to say, yes, I accept upon myself your hatra. But really, they could say anything, like, I forgot.
No. Why? If I warn...
What's Bishas Maisa?
What's Shas Maisa?
That's right before. Mikar means, like, before they even come to Beis Din.
How do you know to warn them before they come to Beis Din?
You hear them plotting. I don't know, but Bishas Maisa and Mikar...
You hear them plotting?
Yeah.
No, then... You wouldn't accept their testimony if you thought they were plotting.
Adam, Mihasra from Adam, don't we?
Well, if those...
Not the Beis Din of the Mihasra.
Oh, you know, I understand that, but... No.
Accept their testimony, because they were the ones here on the plot. You know?
That's a big stretch, you know?
But why? What's it as we make Kana Bishas Maisa?
So I would argue that Rashi does say Yom Moshe Kodem Shei Edo Edus, right? But so Yom, I understand. But why? What's the half of me to give them warning? In other words, they come into court today. They say we're prepared to testify. Beis Din looks at the watch and says, you know what? It's late. It's 5:00. The court workers are going to check out, so we'll resume testimony tomorrow.
What's the problem?
And how do you know to warn them?
There are two other people who hear them. How do you know to warn somebody that's going to shoot someone? You see preparing to do whatever it is they're about to do.
No, whatever. I mean, I think that's the two Adam hear them plotting.
Yes, you say don't do that because then you'll be Adam's own, and then you'll get killed for whatever you're doing.
So why don't those Adam go to Beis Din before these Adam even testify? To warn the I don't think that that's the case. I think the Hasra here, you see from the way that Rishonim asked the question as well. The Hasra is not, we know you're doing this Avera, don't do it, or X is going to happen to you. The Hasra is a conditional Hasra. In other words,
Tosfot asks, why isn't this
Hasra Safek? That's only one example of that demonstrates this. But some of the Rishonim think, the Ritva asks, well, aren't we Ma'ayim on the Edom? When you're Ma'ayim on the Edom, the Mishnah Sanhedrin, it means you're trying to scare the heck out of them, right? That they should tell the truth. Like, that's scary. You're trying to make it clear to them the consequences, the potential consequences of lying. And ultimately there, we're not threatening to punish them. We're just telling them what is all the bad things that come about because people give false testimony. Like call them a kayim nefesh achas and so on. So the fact that Dvar asked the question about the Iyum, that's Iyum on someone. We don't know when we warn them whether they're actually telling the truth. That's why Tosis asked the Kasha, is it in Hasra Sefik? Because we don't know when we warn them, we don't know whether or not they're lying.
Well,
We don't know what the testimony exactly is yet, necessarily.
Is that what
you mean by Asura Safek? Yeah, that's what Tosus means by Asura Safek. And Tosus' answer is it doesn't really matter whether we know. All that matters is that they have to know Bishasa Eidus. And since if we could give them a Hasra at the appropriate time, even though we don't know right now, and it's when I see you with a gun about to shoot someone, obviously you haven't killed them yet, but I see you about to shoot them, and then you shoot them, so I know for sure. Whereas when I warn the Eidim here right now, I don't know that they're Eidim Zelumim. But Tosu says, it doesn't matter, that's still not called Hasra Safek, that's Hasra Zvada, as long as the Eidim themselves know. You see?
They may know they're lying, but they don't know that someone else will come and be mizamim.
That's okay, we're only warning them about the Chomer HaAveira, and what the potential punishment is if someone should come forward.
Uh-huh.
And they would say, we're going to testify Afal Pikein. That would be, that should be a good enough Hasra. So they're going to say, you know, they're going to say they forgot. Okay.
Well, they could say.
And there, again, I know, but I'm questioning that they could say they forgot. Really, we would believe them.
You could say.
What? Again, an hour ago, you know, the Shah Kodem, they actually gave a testimony. You gave them warning, and you're going to believe it. And we can say they could use as a tainah. We forgot the Hasra.
Well, I think for sure he's lying. It's just not the halacha.
No. I know, but even the halacha, if we know he's lying, of course we would ignore it. But would we even be choshesh that he's telling the truth? That would we believe when he says he's Stalin? Okay. So then the Gemara, I don't know, the Gemara continues.
Could you ask the same thing if you have to give a star for someone to murder someone? Like, what, they can say that they actually didn't know you had to murder someone? Is that an actual possibility? The same thing.
Yeah.
But we have that case. You know you have a star for someone who murders, so then...
You can't kill them in Pesta.
Right. Why? Because they're going to say that they didn't know they couldn't murder?
Is yeah.
That's just as likely as saying that we forgot that you told us an hour ago.
There are only two reasons for giving Hasra. The standard reason is to make sure that the person knows what they're doing is us. Or the other possible reason, which is Lahav Chamein Shogeg. I should say, no, I'm taking the Rambam's reader. The purpose of Hasra is Lahav Chamein Shogeg Lamezid, which is why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda says, Chaver in Sarah Hasra. But the reason why the Rambam probably paskins that. Because is there's two kinds of shogig and mazids. One is not knowing the din, the other is not realizing what you're about to do. Not realizing what you're doing is actually the avera. So
if that's the case, why can't they can still claim it's still a possibility that they forgot?
So at some point, the fact that you make a claim doesn't mean we're going
to
believe you. And if we gave you a Hasra, look, if I tell someone, you know, Reuven looks like he's going to kill Shem, I said, don't kill Shem at all, we're bringing the base, and he says, I don't care. And then, a minute later, he shoots him, can he say, I forgot the Hasra?
He'd say, I said I didn't care, I didn't say Afal
Pichin. No, he said Afal Pichin, okay? And then he pauses, you know, he's cleaning the barrel of his gun a little bit, you know, he's polishing it, he wants to be, you know, he wants it to be not a misa menuvela, so you should have this chus and the cover of being killed by a nice shiny gun. And then, 2 minutes later, he shoots him. Can he say, oh, I forgot about the Hasra?
I thought we said that we're finished in Marcos, we said it has to be Tokhtay Dibur.
Does the Hasra have to be Tokhtay Dibur? It doesn't sound like that here. The Gemara doesn't disqualify it on Tokhtay Dibur grounds. When the Gemara is about to invoke Tokhidei Dibur here, but only to explain that in order for the Eidim to back out of their testimony, it has to be Tokhidei Dibur. I didn't check in Makos, I'm not aware that there's a din, that when the Eidim give Hasra, if the guy just waits 5 seconds before shooting the arrow, that he's potter. I don't think there's such a din.
I thought they were showing almost like uniformly assume that it has to be Tokhidei Dibur.
What?
It's very hard to, you know. Not here. The Gemara here is not. Is that afka mashma adaraba? It's a mashma not that way. Okay.
All right, maybe that can be explained by Zach's point about testimony versus other things that happen. Testimony, you know, baiting is a longer process, especially testimony itself.
No, so I agree.
You have Drishan as a
hero. I agree, but here's my point. Tosus is going to comment here. A very important point Tosus has. That Tokhidei Dibur doesn't mean that all the events have to take place within the span that you can say Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amori. Tokhidei Dibur means that you can have events chained together as long as each one is taking place sequentially within Tokhidei Dibur. In other words, Tosus quotes Tosus Dibur Masno Vinisrei. It's not Nisrei, but Vinisrei. points out that that when you have 100 pairs of witnesses testify, a 100 witnesses testify one after the other, if the 100th witness is found to be a kar of a pasul, let's say it's one kat, we disqualify them all. We don't say, well, he's not mitzarif to the earlier ones because his testimony wasn't tokhidei dibur, because when it's in that maman, so we say that that's called tokhidei dibur. Agreed.
So then there is no tokhidei dibur issue.
Look, so my point is that when it comes to the hasra, I presume when you warn the witnesses, it's at the beginning of the testimony, you know, at the beginning. Well, the Gemara said Meikara, right? If you want to argue that that's really Tokhidei Dibur, it's one moment with the actual testimony an hour later, then how can you believe them to say Ishtali? How is that different than shooting a guy, and I warn you, and 5 seconds later?
Because it's not about me believing them, it's about their lack of Afalpikain.
No, but they said Afalpikain.
No,
they said, we warn them that you're coming to testify. Know that you're accepting upon yourself the consequences if it turns out you're lying, make it up. And they say, yes, we are. That's presumably what the Kabbalah Sasra would be. So the Gemara continues that so Nisri Behu B'Shas Ma'is, the Rebbe says, let's warn them right as they're testifying. The Gemara says, Parshi Velo Misadi. Rashi says that if you talk to them in a certain way, they say, what, you think I'm a liar? Okay, goodbye. What do I need this for? What do I need this? Mali Latsarazos. Malan Latsarazos. And then Rabbi says, Nisri Behula Besof, Maida Havahava. To give them warning after the testimony, well, it's too late. The warning doesn't work. Why? Because once they finish testifying, they can't change their testimony. Because of the basic principle in Eidos, Im lo yagid v'nasa avono, kevin shlo higid shuv einachozer magid. If you say, I don't know, under oath, in a testimony context, you can't turn around and say, oh, I do know. If you said that Reuven killed Shimon, you can't turn around and say, no, I was lying, Reuven didn't kill Shimon. Doesn't work that way. Once you give testimony, it's completed, your testimony stands on the record. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Maskefla Abaye. What kind of a kasha arise that? Venisri bu betoka de dibur. You could wait until after the aide finishes testifying, and immediately after say, by the way, if you're lying, you know we're going to do this to you. You still want this testimony to stand? And the aide can say yes or no, and that's toka de dibur, and that's fine. That's oso maimed. It's perfectly fine to aid to say, all right, I want to cancel my testimony. It's like you take the SATs, you know, I understand, not in my day. My day we didn't have computers in my day. Now, there were computers existed, but they weren't used for the SATs. But I understand that after you take the SATs and walk out, right, you have a certain amount of time, you can decide to cancel your score.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what the aiding can do here. They have a token, they debor, they can cancel their aidos.
Oh, you can also do that for the MCAT.
Okay, fine. Glad to know that also. So, next time we're taking MCATs, I'll keep that in mind. Yes?
So why does that work?
Why does what work?
Post-testimony.
Because the din is, when I'm middle of giving the testimony, I can abort it. Right? In other words, that's the din of Kevan Shehigid Shuvein Choser Maginus. In principle, you might believe a person, they turn and say, no, I was lying, I really shouldn't have said that. But we have exerced that custom that once the testimony is finished, it's set in stone. You cannot reverse it. Someone else, Edim Hamazim or Edim Achishim, could. So, but that only occurs when the testimony is over. That's all. Tokhidei Dibur works for everything except for four things. It's a Gemara at the end of Nedarim. Gittin, Kiddushin, Megadef, and Avodah Zarah, I believe. Avodah Zarah. Anyway, so finally, and we'll close with this for now, another kasha. Maskif la Rav Acha Bred Ravika, Venisri Bume Kara, Venumers Behu Ramuze. You could give him a whole speech at the beginning, an hour before they actually get up and testify. And then when they ate him, got up and testify, the judge says, just keep in mind what we spoke about earlier. Gently. Rashi says that Bishas Ha'idus Nirmos Lehem Ramazim Al Asar Al Askir, Velashon Rach Shalo Yakpidu. You should know that if you lie, we're going to kill you. No, it means you gently remind them. Just keep in mind the testimony, the the issues that we discussed at the beginning of the trial. That's what you would do. So that's why they don't like Rava's suggestion. So Abaye, now notice that Abaye in principle was acknowledging Rava's notion that Eidim Zomim maybe should have required Hasra, but you can't give them Hasra. It's impossible to do it. But now Abaye is going to go off in another kivun. Yes, Danny.
So I haven't seen Tosfos yet. I know you said Tosfos talks about Iyum in a different context.
Now Ritva mentions Iyum. I think it's Ritva. I don't think it's in Tosfos.
So I don't know if we're concerned for Parshei Bala Masahadei, Like, Iyum would have the same effect, if not greater.
So the truth is, one of the differences between Iyum and this is Iyum, you're not threatening the witnesses. You're not telling them, we're going to punish you X, Y, and Z if you're lying. We're telling them, please understand the impact of your testimony. Consider it carefully, because if one causes the death of an innocent life, it's as if one has destroyed the entire world. And if one saves an innocent life, it's as if one has saved the entire world. But that's not saying, there's a difference between that, you know, and saying, you know, that, you know, if you are lying, said, we are going to kill you. Right? There's a very big difference. What's that?
What happens before you take a shvuah?
What happens?
Before you take a shvuah.
Yeah, what about, what's that have to do with this? What shvuah? Edim don't take a shvuah. Any edus that requires a shvuah to back it is invalid edus by definition.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is shvuah? And what's the kasher?
I thought there was one. I still think there could be one, but I don't have all fleshed out enough right now.
Okay. All right, so anyways, so tomorrow we will read to the end of the sugya, and I will probably send you at least a couple of pieces that I would like to start with. The Gemara on top of Lama Gilman Vase is very, very, very interesting. Okay.